I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Our Lord's entrance into this world was prophesied, was promised many hundreds of years before the fact. One of these prophecies is here in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, which we just read together. He is described, among other things, as the Prince of Peace. And so often that word peace is associated with our Lord Jesus Christ, both in prophecy and also in his time on this earth, as sequenced in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and also in the days of the early church, as his kingdom and his very person were described with the word peace. You might remember in Luke chapter 2 that at his birth, the angels and the heavenly host proclaim from heaven, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. At the beginning of our Lord's ministry in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, one of the Beatitudes was, blessed are the peacemakers. And toward the end of our Lord's life upon this earth, before his death upon the cross, in talking with his apostles and encouraging and comforting them, he told them in John chapter 14, my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, or let it be afraid. And then, of course, those of us living in his kingdom by his purposes in this world are encouraged to be at peace with those around us, and to enjoy peace with God, and have peace within our very own hearts. Paul will say, the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, in the words of Philippians chapter 4. We have by faith access to God's grace, in the words of Romans 5 and 2, but that is prefaced with these words. We are justified by faith and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Romans chapter 12, we are encouraged to live at peace with all men as much as is possible, especially those of the household of faith. Now, the Hebrew word peace, shalom, and the Greek word peace, not that dissimilar or different from one another with respect to their definition, both have less to do with just a cessation of conflict and more with an equilibrium, or we might even say a harmony, a peace. Now, just because two parties are not fighting does not mean they're necessarily at peace. Just because bullets aren't being fired and fists aren't being thrown and barbs of words aren't being jostled back and forth does not mean there is peace. In the Bible idea of peace, there is this harmony that exists. The world, because of sin from the very beginning, has been a world of chaos and discord and divisiveness and violence. And God is not the author of confusion, as Paul will tell the Corinthians, but the author of peace. God has always been about the peacemaking business. And so when Christ is described before his coming as the Prince of Peace, what are we talking about? Well, in three principal ways, we're talking about him bringing peace between God and man, especially. Bringing, at best, in the ideal sense, peace among peoples. And also the peace of heart, the peace of mind we so desperately long for in these days of chaos. And in all three of these ways, our Lord brought peace. Now, the first and most important way of all is the peace he brings between man and God. That relationship that we had from the beginning, because after all, we've been made in God's image after his likeness. And thus, as we came into this world, every one of us, we came into this world at peace with God, made in his image, having and being a spirit. But because we followed down the road of sin that was showed to us by so many before us, even back to the beginning in the garden with Adam and Eve, we followed in sin ourselves. And thus, as we sinned, we moved away from God. As Isaiah will say in his 59th chapter, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. And thus a breach was caused between man and God, between us and God, due to nothing God had done, due completely to choices that we had made, by going against his will and committing and being involved with sin. It doesn't take a mountain of sin or a life of sin to remove oneself from God, because as God is altogether holy, anything less than that separates from the holiness and the presence of God. And so some of us may be less sinners or more sinners than others of us, but it really matters not. Any sin, every sin, all sin separates any of us from God. And thus the need throughout all of history from Eden's garden forward was for some means to rectify this seemingly insolvable problem. Now, this situation of sin causing the breach, the separation, the division of God and man. Now the fact is, God, before the world ever began, before man was ever created, before anything in time had begun to happen, he had in his eternal purpose the solution to this problem. The fact that he would send his own son one day to live amongst sinful men, to give his life as a sacrifice for those of us living in rebellion against him, that by the blood of his son, our sins, as we come to him, might be washed away by his blood. And thus, through no merit of our own, we might have access to relationship to God once again, having been made righteous by the only true righteous person ever to live, Jesus the Christ. And thus we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5 and verse 1. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not available any time before Christ, except in foretaste. Not available in any means but Christ. Christ is the only way to the Father. Jesus will say, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, because he's the only one that can make peace and bring about this wonderful reconciliation that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are reconciled to God by the death of his son, Paul says. That reconciliation is the bridging of the gap, the healing of the breach, the bringing back together of man and God, having dealt finally and forever with that sin problem. So that when one asks us the question as Christians, are you sinners or not? The answer is both yes and no, in the sense that we do continue to fail and fall short. And so we do commit sin. But we're not sinners in the sense of being marred and blemished by that. As we continue doing our best to walk in the light, as our Lord is in the light, the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sins and keeps us from unrighteousness. That from 1 John chapter 1. And in the same text, John goes on to say, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have peace with God. It means more than just the fact we don't fight with Him. It means we're in harmony with Him. We now, sins being cleansed, are with Him. And we can even, as those patriarchs of old, be said to walk with Him. Because we are in harmony. We have peace. Because of what Christ, the Prince of Peace, brought to this world. With not just His life, but His death as a perfect sacrifice for us. And then also we have this peace between ourselves. Now there is a sense where it's for just a moment it seems as if Christ is contradicting history and His own purpose. When, remember, Jesus said, "Think not I'm come to bring peace upon the earth. I'm come to bring not peace, but a sword." But what He's saying there is simply the obvious fact that not everyone will come to God by means of himself. And those choosing not to come to God by means of Christ will in many cases wage war against those who are living according to the light, who are coming to the only true source of light, who are doing their best to be like Christ. But in the fullest, truest, most ideal sense, the only way to bring about true peace between us is for us to live like Christ. His own life is an example of this. Did everybody love Him? No. Did everybody accept Him? No. Finally, the worst of the worst took Him and nailed Him to the cross and took His life in a torturous, horrendous way. There is tremendous discord and lack of peace in everything leading up to the cross and in the crucifixion itself. But can you say Christ brought this about by His own demeanor, by His own attitude, by His own lifestyle, by those things He taught, by those things He did? No. In Christ you see a peaceful person who did everything he could to bring about peace. Now, you want to be at peace with your neighbor, you've got to become more like Jesus. You want to bring about peace with your spouse or your children or your parents or your family, you need to be more like Jesus. You want to be at peace with the people you work with or people who are your neighbors in your neighborhood. You want to be at peace with those you come across at the stores. You be more like Jesus. Does that mean everybody will treat you as they should? No. But it'll mean you have made the choice to follow Christ's example and live up to the words that Paul teaches in Romans 12, if it be possible. Sometimes it's not. But if it be possible, as much as lies in you. Now, part of it lies upon the other people. But if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live at peace with all people. The way to bring peace to this world is for more of us to live like Jesus. The way to heal the nations and bring together this nation is for more of us to live like Jesus. The way to bring families back together. The way to bring congregations back together. The way to bring peoples back together is by having more of us live like Jesus Christ with His mind, His attitude, using Him as the perfect example. That's Paul was saying in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have peace with one another because of Jesus. And so the Prince of Peace came, bringing peace between all of us and God by the means of Christ's sacrifice, and peace among all of us as we choose to live like Christ. But then also there's this third aspect of peace, a peace which is more difficult sometimes to get our hands and minds and thoughts around. A peace of mind. A peace that gives you calm and serenity. A peace that lets you sleep at night. It lets you properly digest your food after you've eaten it. A peace that gives you an harmony with yourself and with life. A contentment with what is. And that kind of peace does not come by reading a book or finding the right therapist. And books help, and therapists aren't always bad. But the true answer is only in Christ. Because only He can offer this peace that comes from within. The peace that passes all understanding. I'll remind you of what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, beginning with the fourth verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. When Paul writes that, he is in bonds because of his preaching of Jesus Christ. And yet from those bonds, from that imprisonment, he writes, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. Let your gentle forbearance be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious, be worried about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Just a bit later than that, he'll talk about how he's in his own life had much and had little, had hunger and had fullness. And in both cases, he's learned something. In either case, he's learned something to be content. And how so? I can do all things, he says, through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4 and 13. This difficult learning in life, to be content where we are, with what we have, no matter what it is, much or little. That peace of mind that comes from rejoicing regardless, praying regardless, giving thanks regardless. That kind of peace can only come by living by Christ's example and joining with His strength. It's a peace that's less about self and more about surrender. A peace that's less about getting and more about receiving and giving. A peace that's less about having all the answers and more about surrendering to the one who does have all the answers. It's less about knowing what the future holds and more about knowing who holds the future. It's a peace that, as the psalmist will say, is still and lets go and allows the Lord to do what's best. Peace. Well, Christ, as the Prince of Peace, brings about this inner peace as well. With sins being washed away, we're not worried about our relationship with God. With our deciding to follow Christ's example, our relationship with others, at least if it's not peaceful, we know it's not because of us. We're doing our best to be like Christ. Whether we have much or little, whether we're here or there, regardless what happens, we are content. Because we know that God is a God who loves us a God who has said he is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46:1. A God who says, cast all your cares upon me, I care for you. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. A God who will remind us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And thus, with all of this in mind, the worries can fly away and the anxieties can dissipate and we can be truly at peace. And so, yes, peace with God, peace amongst ourselves, with our fellow man, and peace within our own hearts all depend upon this one person. Emmanuel, God with us, who came for a time and lived among us, showed us what is possible, provides us every strength we need, and gave his life as a ransom for all of us. No wonder he's described in prophecy as the Prince of Peace. My friend, this morning, if you're outside of the peace of God, it's not God's fault. Christ provides the means, the way of your salvation. Have you, in faith in Christ, turned from sins, confessed that faith, and been baptized? If not, why not this morning? Or perhaps as a child of God, you've lost that peace with God because of your leaving him. He hasn't left you, and you need to come back. If you need to come, come now, as together we stand and sing.